Good afternoon. Welcome to our Bible study. We're going to be in the book of Judges, chapter 1. Our new favorite book, right? Our new favorite book. We love Joshua, but Judges is our favorite. I'll let you guys get there, then we'll open in prayer. Yeah, we sure are. We really are. But the Lord still loves us. All right, let guys get there. We'll open in prayer. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we gather this afternoon in your name to go through our first chapter in the book of Judges, we ask you, Lord, that you'd open our hearts and our minds to your word and that you would help us understand your word and you would speak to us, Lord. Through your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So Judges is believed to be written by the prophet Samuel, along with the prophet Nathan and the prophet Gad, that they helped Samuel write this book. Most scholars believe that it was the period of Judges was somewhere between 450 BC to 1000 BC in that time. So it's about a 450-year span that this takes place, this book of Judges. This book covers several years of the Israelites' history. Okay, the book of Judges is about the history before the kings. Okay, the first part of this chapter describes some of the military victories of the Israelites in Canaan, specifically the land belonging to Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin. The second part of this chapter records the pagan nations. It records that the pagan nations were still remaining in the land, the promised land, and they lived among the Israelites, which God was against. He wanted Israel to rid out these pagan nations, but they were going to find out they're still letting them live in the midst of them. The book of Judges recounts the period in Israel's history. Between Joshua and the rise of the monarchy. It's all about sin, oppression, repentance, and deliverance. This is what this book's all about, those four things. It's mostly about that, sin, oppression, repentance, and deliverance. Israel had a real lack of leadership after the death of Joshua. Excuse me. As like I said, many enemies were still living in the land. And they started to drift away from the Lord, which we're going to find out as we go through this book. They were backsliding on the Lord, and they only seeked after the Lord when things were bad. So they would only seek after the Lord when things were bad, right? And they were doing the things, which we're going to find out as we read through this book, they were doing the things that they wanted to do, not so much what God wanted them to do. They wanted to serve themselves and not the Lord. Israel repeatedly turns away from God, worships idols, and is oppressed by the surrounding nations, as we're going to find out. But when the people repent and cry out, God raises up a judge to deliver them. He shows them mercy. But after that judge dies, the cycle starts again. You probably, if you've read through this book, you're going to see that this is the whole history of this book, right? God raised up a judge, gets them, you know, delivers them. They're on the straight and narrow. The judge dies, and there they go, off to the left, and then they cry out. God raised up a judge, and it just keeps going, just a cycle throughout this whole book. So let's go ahead. We'll jump right in here in chapter 1. I'm going to read down to verse 7, the continuing conquest of Canaan. It says in verse 1, "Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, Who shall be first to go up for us against the Canaanites to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Indeed, I have delivered the land into his hand. So Judah said to Simeon, his brother, Come up with me to my allotted territory, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I will likewise go with you to your allotted territory. And Simeon went with him. Verse 4, it says, then Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they killed 10,000 men at Bezek. And they found Adoni Bezek in Bezek and fought against him, and they defeated the Canaanites and the Perizzites. Then Adoni Bezek fled, and they pursued him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his big toes. Ouch. Wow. Oh, well, we're going to find out. We're going to find out right here in verse 7. It says in verse 7, and Adoni Bezek said, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off used to gather scraps under my table. Sounds like he used to do this. As I have done, so God has repaid me. There's your answer. Then they brought him to Jerusalem, Adoni Bezek, and there he died. So let's stop there for a minute. So the tribe of Judah received God's first go-ahead push for more a thorough conquest of the land, the territory, right? God chose Judah, most likely because God wanted Judah to be the leader of the tribes, and he wanted them to set an example for them for the other territories. After Joshua's death, the tribes of Judah and Simeon made war against the Canaanite and the Perizzites, I call them, right? Inhabitants, they were in this land. God said, I want you to wipe out these wicked nations. This land I promised to your forefathers and to you, the children of Israel. It says at Bezek, they killed quite a bit, 10,000 enemies, right? And they captured a local king by the name of Adoni Bezek. That town where he lived was named after him, that village, Bezek, right? The Israelites cut off his big toes and his thumbs. That must not have been fun. Wouldn't want to get captured by them, right? Now, this was done, it says, right, that because Adoni Bezek had previously cut off the toes of 70 other kings. He cut off their thumbs and their toes. So Israel did the same to him, but there's no proof in the scriptures, okay, that God approved of this tactic of cutting off thumbs and toes of your enemy. So, but they did. And Adoni Bezek, as we just read, he did acknowledge that he deserved it for doing it to others. So, still sounds pretty painful. Ugh. Ouch. All right, let's go ahead. We'll continue on. We're going to read right through down to verse 15. It says, verse 8, it says, now the children of Judah fought against Jerusalem and took it. They struck it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire. And afterward, the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites who dwelt in the mountains, in the south, and in the lowland. Verse 10, then Judah went against the Canaanites who dwelt in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kirjath Arba. And they killed Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai. From there, they went against the inhabitants of Debir. The name of Debir was formerly Kirjath Sefer. Then Caleb said, whoever attacks Kirjath Sefer and takes it, to him I will give my daughter Aksa as a wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. So I'll stop here for a minute. This can be a little confusing right here when you read this. So Kenaz, okay, was Caleb's younger brother. He had Othniel. So Othniel would be Caleb's nephew, but then became his son-in-law. Okay? There's a lot there, okay? You can read that through, and it sounds like Kenaz is his younger brother, right? Well, it says the son of Kenaz, right, is Caleb's younger brother. he had Othniel. But it sounds sometimes when you read it that Othniel is Caleb's younger brother, but he's not. He was actually his nephew, but then because he gave him away to his daughter, he ended up becoming his, first cousins, right? Yeah, first cousins. So it says that, and Othniel, right, he took it, it says, so he, Caleb, gave him, Othniel, his daughter Aksa as wife. Verse 14. Now it happened when she, Aksa, came to him, Othniel, that she urged him, Othniel, to ask her father Caleb for a field. You guys are tracking, right? You following this? And she dismounted from the donkey. So it sounds like she didn't wait for Othniel. She tells Othniel, hey, when you see my father, tell him I want these lands. When she gets off the donkey, she says, I'm going to take care of this myself. There's my dad. Right? It says, and she dismounted from her donkey and said, and Caleb said to her, what do you wish? So she said to him, give me a blessing. Since you have given me land in the south, give me also springs of water. And Caleb, her father, gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. So let's stop here for a minute. Yeah. So he gave her some upper springs, lower, right? He's being generous. So Caleb, as we just read, he promised his daughter, Aksa, in marriage to the man who captured the city of Debir. Whoever goes up there and takes this city, I'll give my daughter to you as wife. And Othniel must have really liked his daughter because he took off. He said, I'm going to go capture this right here, right now. Right? Othniel, Caleb's younger brother's son, conquered the city and married Aksa. So Caleb, good on his word, right? Gave Aksa land and the upper springs and lower springs. So he's good to his daughter. He blessed his daughter. Right? He was blessed. Right? He got to get Hebron, and now he's blessing his daughter. She wanted some land too, just like her father. All right? So let's see. Just 1 minute here. It's just getting over. Boy, I have a cold. No hugs and kisses today. So I don't want to have a coughing attack. All right, let's continue on. Verse 16. I'm going to read right down to verse 26. This is, you got to pay attention really close here, too. This one of those ones you got to put your thinking cap on. Verse 16 says, now the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, okay, that's Jethro. That's Moses' father-in-law, okay, went up from the city of palms, that's Jericho, with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lies in the south near Ered. And they went and dwelt among the people. And Judah went with his brother Simeon, and they attacked the Canaanites who inhabited Zephath and utterly destroyed it. So the name of that city was called Hormah. Verse 18. Also, Judah took Gaza with its territory, Ashkelon with its territory, and Ekron with its territory. They took the Gaza Strip. All right, verse 19 says, so the Lord was with Judah. So they're having victory. The Lord's with them. They're having victory. They're conquering. And it says, and they drove out the mountaineers, but they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland. What do you mean? Why? Because they had chariots of iron. And they gave Hebron to Caleb, as Moses had said. Then he expelled from there the three sons of Anak. So Caleb drove out these giants in the land of Hebron. Verse 21, look at this. Not good. But the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who inhabited Jerusalem. So the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. So they didn't drive them out as God told them to do, right? They were being disobedient. Verse 22 says, and the house of Joseph also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. So Joseph was obedient and conquered. Verse 23, so the house of Joseph sent men to spy out Bethel. The name of the city was formerly Luz. And when the spy saw a man coming out of the city, they said to him, please show us the entrance to the city, and we will show you mercy. Verse 25, so we showed them the entrance of the city, and they struck the city with the edge of the sword. But they let the man and all his family go. Verse 26, and the man went to the land of the Hittites, built a city, and called its name Luz, which is its name to this day. So let's stop there for a minute. Moses' father-in-law was named Jethro, right? They were called Kenites, that family, okay? They traveled with Moses, and they settled into this land, Arad. So that these are descendants of Moses' father-in-law, okay, Jethro, right? And they settled, like I said, with the people of Judah in their territory, okay? It says also that Judah took Gaza with its territory, Ashkelon with its territory, and Ekron with its territory. They're all in that same area. So Judah went up and did that. But look at verse 19. Look at verse 19. It says, so the Lord was with Judah as they were conquering, they were capturing, they were getting victory. God was with them, right? And they drove out the mountaineers, so they were having, you know, victory. But look at this. But they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland because they had chariots of iron. Notice it says, but they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland because they had chariots of iron. It wasn't God's concern. It was their concern. Right? They had an issue. What does that come down to? It came down to their trust and faith. God was giving them victory, right? He wasn't concerned at all of these chariots of iron, right? They were doing good, but then they saw the chariots of iron, and they were like, uh-oh, this is as far as we're going, right? Not realizing, listen, you've been getting victory because of God. You're going to let these chariots of iron stop you? Our God? But they did. They stopped dead in their tracks and they didn't go and take that land. Hold your spot. I want you to jump back into Joshua chapter 1, our book we just came out of. Just hold your spot there. Go to chapter 1. I want to share this passage with you. Joshua 1, one book back. Our old favorite book. We love Joshua for many weeks, but now we love Judges. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. Listen to this. This is great, and they forget about this. They forget about this passage, what was said to them. It says in verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Every place, look at verse 3, right? Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I will give you, as I said to Moses. From, listen, look at this, verse 4. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, to it going down on the sun, shall be your territory. Right? He's telling them, all you got to do is go get it. It's all yours. I promised this to your fathers, and it's yours. All you got to do is go get it. Look at verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Look at, he goes on and said, look at this, even more encouraging words right here. Verse 6 and 7. He says, be strong and have good courage. For to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. And he says it again in verse 7, just in case you didn't hear earlier. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe and do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to your right hand or to your left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Amazing, right? How soon they forgot these words that were spoken to them. Right? God was telling the people, just trust me, just have faith in me, and I will give you victory. Listen, if you believe. If you believe, right? But their faith let them down. God was with them. He was giving them victory. And then here comes the lack of faith and trust right here. You jump back to our Judges 1, right? We see they saw chariots of iron, okay? Which probably was pretty intimidating. They're on foot, and they see these chariots of iron. And they were like, uh-oh. I guess this is as far as we're going, guys. I get, maybe God is going to let us handle the rest. They were trusting in themselves, not God. Yeah. Look at verse 20 in our passage, Judges 1. It says 20, and they gave Hebron to Caleb, as Moses had said, right? They gave it to him. That's the land he wanted, right? Then he expelled from there the three sons of Anak. Remember Anak? Those were those giants in the land. Right? The Anakims, they're called. They're giants. But you see Caleb, right? He doesn't have a lack of faith. He comes into his land in Hebron. He sees these giants, and he's like, these guys are nothing for my God. Right? Who are you guys? He conquers them. Because he knew. He had faith and trust in God. He knew he was going to wipe them out, right? It's like when David fought Goliath. I told you guys this before. When David went out there to fight Goliath, Goliath looked this small. He was 11 feet tall, but he looked that big in David's eyes, right? Because God was with him, right? Dave said, who's this guy? This uncircumcised Philistine, he said, right? No one's bigger than our God. But these guys, their lack of faith. Lack of faith. Look at verse 21 and 22 in our passage. The children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who inhabited Jerusalem. So the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. These are people that are supposed to be driven out. They're in there living with them. Right? I mean, they're disobedience to the Lord. He said, just drive them out. He said, I'm going to be with you. Just go do it. Look at verse 22. See, right? Well, verse 22, Joseph, He did. He says the house of Joseph also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with him, so he conquered it, right? Benjamin failed, but Joseph did not. Trust, it all comes down to trust, faith, and obedience. So let's go ahead. We'll continue on into verse 27. Here we go again, verse 27, right away. However, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean in its villages, or Taanach in its villages, or the inhabitants of Dor in its villages, or the inhabitants of Eblaim in its villages. Well, they didn't want to do anything, huh? They didn't want to do anything. And the inhabitants of Megiddo in its villages, for the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land. So they're just like, hey, God says, I've given this, all this land to, I promise this land to your fathers, and I promise it to you, all this land, everything you see is all yours. And they sit there and go, you can have that town. You can have Franklin. You can have Tilton. Yeah, you can go down there. You can have Northfield too if you want. Yeah, you might as well take Samberton. We're all set. But God said, no, this is all your land. I promise all this land to you. Go get it. Right? Complacent. Verse 28, it says, and it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites under tribute. Here we go again. But did not completely drive them out. Verse 29. Nor did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites who dwelt in Gezer. So the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. So all these pagan nations, they're living within God's people. And God had told them to get rid of them. Right? Get rid of these pagan idolaters out of this place. You know why God did that, right? Not only were they wicked, evil people, God did not want them following their false gods, their false religion. Don't hang around with those people. I don't want those people to be around you. They're going to drag you to their false beliefs. I'm the only God. He said, the Lord says, I'm the only Lord. I'm the only Savior. And they didn't. They let all these pagans live within them, right? Look at verse 30. I mean, it just keeps going on. Nor did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron or the inhabitants of Nahalol. So the Canaanites dwelt among them and were put under tribute. But here we go again. Nor did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Acho and the inhabitants of Sidon or Alab, Akzib, Helba, Aphek, or Rehob. They're just giving them everything. Take it all. We don't need it. Look at verse 32. So the Asherites, tribe of Asher, dwelt among the Canaanites. Just what God didn't want them to do. The inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Verse 33. Nor did Naphtali. Like brother, like brother, like brother, like brother. They did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh or the inhabitants of Beth Anath, but they dwelt among the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anath were put under tribute to them, and the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains. Well, not only that, they're not taking it, they're moving them out. Hey, go live down the road here. You ain't living here. Force the tribe of Dan right out of here. Go live down there. I can imagine God looking down from heaven just seeing all this go on. Oh, you of little faith, right? Jesus says it all the time. New Testament. So it says right here, right? They forced the children of Dan into the mountains, for they would not allow them to come down to the valley. So these wicked Canaanites, they don't even let them in their land. They're taking over, they're letting them. In verse 35, and the Amorites were determined, sounds like they were more determined than Israel, to dwell in Mount Harris and Ajalon and Shealbim. Yet when the strength of the house of Joseph became greater, so Joseph's being faithful, right? They were put under tribute. Now the boundary of the Amorites was from the ascent of Akrabim, from Selah, and upward. So that's the end. So let's take a look. So besides Caleb and Joseph, the people had a real lack of faith. That's what we're seeing here in this first chapter right away in this book. It's a real lack of faith. Couple faithfuls, mostly unfaithful, right? They were like, we couldn't get rid of these enemies. They were more determined. The battle was difficult. The battle was uphill. They have chariots of iron. Yeah, but you have God on your side, right? That's a game changer when you have the Lord on your side, right? No matter what battle you're going through, no matter what you're facing, God is with you, right? Frank was just telling me, I got his numbers back from the hospital. They were great the other day. You know what he said to me? The Lord's with me, right? His blood pressure, he was just telling me that. We were just upstairs earlier. He said, yeah, I got my numbers back. They were great. He said, the Lord was with me, right? Most of them who were reading about had incomplete victories because of lack of faith and obedience. God told them over and over, trust me and I'll give you victory. but their lack of faith and lack of obedience, right? They had a lack of it, right? Faith and obedience, listen, leads to blessings. Faith and obedience leads to blessings, right? God will bless. And this ends chapter 1. Yeah, so let's go ahead. We'll close in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this chapter, your word, on the importance of trusting in you, having faith in you, and being obedient. And when we do have our faith and trust in you, it always produces obedience. So, Lord, we thank you for speaking to us this afternoon, your word. We ask you, Lord, to strengthen our faith as well, Lord, that you would help us be the servants that you want us to be, the faithful servants that you want us to be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.